Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Today, we continue in the vein of relationships and want to talk about friendship. I've entitled this message, Necessary But Not Obvious. The reason why I've entitled this as such is because many times we know that marriage is obviously necessary, or even parenting or grandparenting, or for that matter, business relations are necessary and obvious. Friendship, however, is one of those things that is necessary but not quite that obvious. It was C.S. Lewis who brought up the matter in the book The Four Loves. He spoke about friendship is unnecessary. That was not what he really meant. What he was making the point was just like philosophy, which we think is unnecessary, or art, which we think is unnecessary, or the universe itself, which has no survival value. In other words, it doesn't have something that gives us direct, inherent, intrinsic, survivable value. Rather, it's one of those things which gives us value to survival, or value to survival. It actually gives the value for the reason for us being here. The Bible is replete with stories of friendship. Stories like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a group of men who were friends who defied the most powerful rulers of the land. The story of Ruth and Naomi, a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law who didn't really have to stay together and yet for some reason decided to do so, not out of necessity, but out of friendship. And there's also the more important story of David and Jonathan. And this is a story about two men who actually had a friendship that went deep into their souls and began to and really loved one another, which is really my first point. I want to talk to you about David and Jonathan's friendship. First point I want to make is the ideals of friendship. The story of David and Jonathan captures the ideals of what friendship looks like as the Bible defines it. The first point I want to make is that they were one in spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 1 says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Saul is Jonathan's father, the king, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. There is the word one in spirit. You and me, we and I have many, many friends. We have so-called friends, even now, friends in social media. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible tells us that friends are rare and few, real friends, that is. There are friends that we party with, there are friends that we laugh and have fun with, and there are friends that we argue with. But the truth is, friends are few. And the basis for people becoming real friends is found in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Hard to walk with people who are not necessarily necessary for living, like a spouse, a brother, a sister, whom you necessarily have to live with, but just a friend. The key is, do you walk together unless you cannot walk together, rather, unless you have agreed to do so? Walking together is an agreement on values. There are friends, many friends that you have, you and I have had over the years, but for some reason, we can't stay and walk with them for long because they don't have the same spiritual values we have. Or for that matter, they don't have the same relational values that we have, or they do not value their physical health the way we value our physical health, staying out late at night or taking substances that we shouldn't be taking. And lastly, maybe the way they treat finances or greed or selfishness are just some of the values that keep us away from them. To have a real friend, the ideals of friendship begin with having someone who is one in spirit. But the second part of the story of Jonathan and David is the story about selfless priorities. 1 Samuel chapter 18, continuing from verse 1, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David and he loved him as himself. Notice what happens in verse 2. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. Let me explain. Saul was the king, David killed the giant Goliath, and Saul decided that he wanted David to stay in the city with him. Now, in that process, when they arrived home, the people were clamoring and shouting, David is their new hero. Out of that, Saul became envious and started to be jealous of David and actually wanted to kill him. That's the story. Now, down in verse 3, Jonathan had made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. This is selfless love. You see, Jonathan is what you would call the son of the owner. He is the son of the CEO. He is the next in line, but his spirit was open with David. His spirit was willing to have a covenant with David despite the fact that he knew his own father did not like that. Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic and even his sword and bow in his belt. The words took off his robe and wearing is basically the robe and the tunic are symbolic of his rulership, symbolic of his being second in command because David was just a shepherd boy. To give him those costly robes is to agree and to tell him there's something special about you. When he gave him his sword and his belt, what he basically was saying to him in that covenant relationship is, whatever happens, I will not harm you. I'm committed to you, is the message. The ideals of friendship begin with being one in spirit. Secondly, to have selfless priorities. And finally, to transcend generations. The friendship of Jonathan and David transcended just their friendship on one generation. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 42, Jonathan and David said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn," there it is, "friendship with each other in the name of the Lord," a friendship that is built in one in spirit as it is with God. "The Lord is witness between you and me." And he says, "between your descendants and my descendants forever." Here is Jonathan pledging to David that we will have a relationship that transcends the generations, that our descendants will become friends as well. Now, in the course of time, Saul had sinned against God. And if you read the story in the book of Samuel, you'll find that Saul dies a death. It actually, after being fought by his enemies. In that process, even Jonathan died. And in that process, David becomes king. And in that situation, he basically becomes the new ruler. He establishes his throne and he starts looking for the descendants of Jonathan. The man's name was Mephibosheth. And here David takes Mephibosheth to be part of his court because he was acknowledging his friendship with Jonathan. The ideals of friendship are one in spirit, selfless priorities, and one that transcends generations. Now, we find in my second point what it takes to become a good friend. The Bible tells us that loving unconditionally is one of the marks of a good friend. Back to the story of Jonathan and David in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 27. Here is a time when Saul was holding court with his son and his leaders, and they were having dinner together. The next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty again. The reason why it was David had suspected that Saul is actually mad and out to kill him. And Saul said to his son Jonathan, "Why hasn't the son of Jesse," referring to David, "come to the meal either yesterday or today?" And there, as they were sitting together, on the second day, Saul was pointing out to the chair and saying, "Why is he not here?" Obviously, he was trying to look for him and trying to make sure he knew where he was. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 28 and 29, Jonathan answered his father, "David earnestly asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go, because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered me to be there.'" Saul's anger fired up at Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse?" He's probably heard that Jonathan had made a covenant with David. "Through your own shame and to the shame of your mother who bore you. As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die." Now at this point, Jonathan realizes the real intent of his father. He questions his father and says, "Why should you be put to death? What has he done?" And Jonathan asked his father. He was basically opposing his father's rulership by telling him, "Why are you doing the wrong thing?" But that Saul hurled a spear to try to kill Jonathan himself. And at that point, Jonathan knew that his father was intending to kill David. Jonathan warned David and told him, "You need to run. My father is mad at you. He really has every intent to kill you." This is friendship that goes beyond deeper than blood because you know you're one in spirit. You've made a covenant with each other. It transcends generations. And obviously, it is something that loves unconditionally. The conditions are not because we're related. The conditions are not because it's necessary, but because you are my friend. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says, "A man of many companions come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Here we find the depth of one's friendship. A man may have many companions or so-called quote-unquote friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And this is the story of Jonathan and David. What does it take to be a good friend? Loves unconditionally, encourages in the face of opposition. Back again in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 15, when David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph on the run, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. Now, Saul was not just waiting for him, he's hunting him down. And Saul's son Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. This is what a friend does. A friend helps you find his strength in God. A friend stands with you when the opposition is hard, when the opposition and the discouragement is real. As I pondered this thought and this verse, I was reminded of the movie 42. 42 is the real true-to-life story of Jackie Robinson, the very first African-American Major League Baseball player. The true-to-life story of this man is that he was a legend. He became a legend even though with great adversity, everybody opposed him. He made history by joining the Dodgers as the first black player ever. And all the athletes, African-Americans never played that way before. In that process, in the movie, you will find as well in True to Life, he was ostracized, hated, bullied, marginalized, in some cases even assaulted by fans, by the media, the general public, and even some of his own teammates. However, in the story, you'll find that Jackie had a friend. That friend is named Pee-wee Reese, team's player, star player, who actually believed in him and stood in the midst of opposition to be known as Jackie's friend. In the movie, you will find one moment when they were booing, heckling, and shouting things and throwing things at Jackie, and there Pee-wee stands, holding up and holding him in his arms and saying, "This is my friend," and that's the only time the crowd subsided. When you have a real friend, a friend is someone who encourages you, in the face of opposition. And finally, what does it take to be a good friend? Loves unconditionally, encourages in the face of opposition, and speaks the truth in love. Now, David is a man who has friends who are lifelong partners, friends who fought with him, friends like Hushai the Archite, who gave him wisdom, and a number of friends that would stand with David. But as David became powerful and consolidated his strength and his rulership, like all men of power, he fell into sin. He fell into this seduction, or he wanted to take over this woman from someone else's wife, who was someone else's wife. And he tried to took her, and not only that, conceived a plot to murder her husband. In that process, his friend Nathan the prophet confronted him and told him about his sin and to the shame that he had to repent before God and that this was wrong. Now, if you can imagine this, Nathan is an ordinary man confronting a very powerful man. But David understood a fundamental truth about friendships. A true friend speaks the truth in love. In that process, David repented and he received the truth as it was spoken to him by his friend Nathan. The Bible tells us that we are to be true friends. We don't just love unconditionally. We don't just encourage in the face of opposition. We speak the truth in love to the friends that we have. Now, they might not like us for it, but it's important for us to be the true friend that God put us in their lives. My last point is God desires friendship with us. In my last message last week, I told you that God is a God of relationships. Many people fail to realize that more than just a father, a creator, a savior, God desires, literally desires and wants you to be his friend. God is more than just a father. He actually wants to be your friend. As a father, most of you know that I have three sons. My three sons, by the grace of God, have become my friends. They're actually adults now with sons of their own. I have five grandchildren, one granddaughter, five grandsons with these three sons. And the good part is that I love speaking to them, not just as a father, but these days as a friend. On Tuesdays at 8 in the morning, I talk to my son, Joseph. On Thursdays, I talk to my son, David, at 6 in the evening. And on Fridays, I talk to my son, Joshua, at 4 in the afternoon. These are not about just necessities or just being a father. Actually, when we talk, a lot of it is about their discoveries, jokes, news, updates, challenges, careers, and the realities of their lives. They have become my friends. In many ways, God is like that. God desires friendship with us and not just be our Father. But here's the truth. Sin separates us from God. And as a result, our friendship with Him is broken. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that you will not hear." Now, that's so that He will not hear, rather. Notice the words, "your iniquities" or "your sins have separated you from friendship with God." And our sins have hidden His face. In other words, we cannot be His friend, and He will not hear us. When we stay away from God, when we sin against God, what we see is sin separates us. Rather than experiencing the blessings of God, we experience the famine in the four areas of our lives: spiritual, relational, physical, and in some cases, even financially. And no matter how hard we try to reach God, we really can't. He is beyond reach, simply because He is a holy God. And that's the point of my message. God desires friendship with us, sin separates us from God, but Jesus restores our friendship, or your friendship, with God. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends." Jesus, speaking to his disciples, was saying, "This is my love for you, to lay down my life for you, because you're not just people I need to save, you are my friends." Further in verse 14, he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Make no mistake about it, God wants us to be His friend. Now, this statement, while saying that, cautions us to hear that God is not just a mere the man up there. He is in command and He's still God while He wants to be our friend. Now, down in verse 15, it says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. You're no longer servants because I want you to be in on the business. I want you in on being a child of the owner. I want you to be not just my brother, I've treated you as my friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." One of my greatest joys is my friendship with God. One of the practices I do is I take long walks and have conversations with God. Lots and lots of questions about life, about where I'm headed, about the things that He wants to reveal to me, my deepest thoughts, and sometimes I even joke and laugh with God. My favorite part is when I sing with Him or sing to Him and for Him. The point is, God is not just our Savior or God that we worship. He desires to be our friend. And the reason why that doesn't happen, sin separates us, but because of Jesus. Jesus restores our friendship, your friendship, my friendship with God. My final point is, God is your most faithful friend. There could be no friend more faithful than God. James chapter 2, verse 23 says this, "And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Now notice, all Abraham did was believe in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then the next line says, "And he was called God's friend." The story of Abraham is a story of friendship with God. Every time I read that, I want to copy that same relationship that Abraham had with God. You see, Abraham, when we look at Abraham's life, we look at the man who accomplished so much, not by doing more, but by simply being God's friend. Let me repeat that. Abraham did not do a lot because he was trying to do more. By just simply being God's friend, he did more. He walked with God. He was tested by God. He talked to God. He was forgiven by God, made an Ishmael, made mistakes, lied about his wife, and he was saved by God. He was blessed by God, and more importantly, he was used by God. This was Abraham's journey of friendship. Somebody who walks with God, somebody who's tested by God, somebody who talks to God. Somebody who understands that no matter how hard he tries, he can never measure up to God and thus will need to be forgiven by God, saved by God, blessed by God, and finally, in his most weakest point, used by God. God desires friendship with us. Friendship is one of those key relationships that we need to learn. And sin separates us from God. Jesus restores our friendship with God, and God is our most faithful friend. Let me summarize this message. The ideals of a friendship are one in spirit, selfless priorities, transcends generations. What it takes to be a good friend: loves unconditionally, encourages in the face of opposition, and speaks the truth in love. And finally, God desires friendship with us. Sin separates us from God, but Jesus restores your friendship with God. And more than that, God is your most faithful friend. Join me in this quick word of prayer as we proclaim Jesus, our Savior. Pick up a piece of bread and a cup and pray this with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for counting us worthy of becoming your friend. As we grow in our friendship with you, may we grow to become a friend like you to others. One who loves unconditionally, encourages in the face of opposition, and one who speaks the truth in love. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.